By taking Parikshit, Lord Krishna's wonderful, powerful dancing trampled and broke all of Kaliya's 1,000 hoods. Then the serpent, profusely vomiting blood from his mouths, finally recognized Shri Krishna to be the eternal personality of Godhead, the supreme master of all moving and non-moving beings, Sri Narayan. Thus, within his mind, Kaliya took shelter of the Lord. The purport. In volume 1, chapter 16 of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada points out that whereas previously Kaliya was vomiting poison, now his poison was exhausted and he began to vomit blood. Thus, he had been cleansed of the vile contaminations within his heart that had manifested as serpent's venom. The word smritva, remembering, is very significant here. The wives of Kaliya were actually serious devotees of Lord Krishna, and according to the acharyas, they had often tried to convince their husband to surrender to him. Finally, finding himself, Shri Radha Gokula Nandaki. Finally, finding himself in unbearable agony, Kaliya remembered his wife's advice and took shelter of the Lord. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Kaliya's arch rival had traditionally been Garuda, the carrier of Vishnu. But now Kaliya realized that he was fighting an opponent who was thousands of times stronger than Garuda, and who therefore could only be the personality of Godhead. Thus Kaliya took shelter of him. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Krupa Sindhu Bhaivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. So we're continuing in these pastimes, and today we're looking at what lessons there are from the pastimes of Kaliya. The Gita mentions why the Lord descends. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijamiyaham. That whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, the Supreme Lord will certainly descend. So that's a wonderful verse, but often it's misused as well within, especially India. And it's the one verse everyone will use to proclaim that they are an incarnation of the personality of Godhead. Generally, that's the verse everyone will come to. As Krishna says in the Gita, whenever the decline, I come. So often we may not realize, but there are hundreds of these individuals throughout India who claim to be the personality of Godhead. Unfortunately, the 33 million gods in India are not enough. They always need more somehow. It's not adequate. And that always seems to be the problem with the Judeo-Christian tradition, the Abrahamic faiths. There are two faiths, the Abrahamic faiths, obviously, and they have the one God, whereas the others have a varieties. So they can't figure out how you have 33 million, but still, there are new gods always appearing on the horizon. And often this verse is used to proclaim that, yes, I'm the personality of Godhead. But then if you can perform the pastimes of defeating Kaliya, of lifting Govardhan Hill, then you may be the personality of Godhead. But that's not really the purpose why Krishna is descending. The other verse of the Gita really says why Krishna wants to come. And anyone remember that one? paritranaya sadhana vinashchaya cha duskritam. That really it's to give pleasure to his devotees. Because, you know, Krishna has an automatic button. He could kill all the demons if he wanted to. Automatically. He doesn't personally need to come. He could have some agents, and a variety of things could happen. But he personally comes for this specific purpose, paritranaya sadhunam, to give pleasure to his devotees, to enact his transcendental pastimes, so that we will become attracted and want to go back to the spiritual realm. But of course, whilst he's here, vinashchaya cha duskritam, he annihilates the miscreants, dharma samsthapanathaya, to re-establish religion, sambhavami yuge yuge, and he says, I appear in every millennium, and specifically comes in the 28th millennium of the 7th Manu in one day of Brahma. He will come. Today we are specifically looking at the pastime of Kaliya. Ramanujacharya, in his teachings, he speaks about why the Lord descends. And when he descends, he said, he comes and he is like two things. Either the personality of Godhead or his incarnations, they will descend and they are like two things. He said, either they are like a lake or a swimming pool, or they are like a lamp. And what does it mean when he says they're like a swimming pool? When you go to a swimming pool or a lake, if you know how to swim, you will swim across and enjoy the swimming. But if you can't swim, you stand on the shore and remain there. So he gives the analogy that when the Lord appears, it is like a swimming pool. For those that know it's the personality of Godhead, they'll want to swim in the swimming pool and swim to the other side to come to the spiritual realm. And for those that don't know how to swim, that don't recognize or don't want to recognize him as the personality of Godhead, they'll remain on the shores of the material world. Or it's like a lamp, he says. The lamp emits light, the ghee lamp, it emits light, but at the same time it produces soot as well. So he said that when the personality of Godhead appears, you can either be enlightened by the lamp, because it's the lamp of knowledge, or you can be engulfed in the soot, which is the darkness, and not recognize him as the personality of Godhead as well. So Ramanujacharya, he dwells specifically on these two principles about the incarnation of the Lord when they come. The history of Kaliya is given in these chapters. The next chapter, this chapter specifically, is how Kaliya was chastised. And in that next chapter, it describes that how Kaliya, he had lived in the Ramakanta Islands along with the rest of the snakes, and they had resided there. And whilst they resided there, they were always frightened, because whenever Garuda would come, and Garuda eats snakes, that he would eat the variety of snakes. So they made an agreement with Garuda that every month they would leave an offering for him under the banyan tree. So whenever he came, there was already an offering for him. But Kaliya was so puffed up that he said, why are we giving this to Garuda? And he would eat the offering instead. So Garuda, when he finally came and he saw there were no offerings for him, and he realized that Kaliya was eating the offerings, he attacked Kaliya. And Kaliya thought he was very strong, but soon as Garuda started to flap his very large wings, he realized that Garuda was extremely powerful, and he became very harassed simply by the winds emanating from the flapping of the wings of Garuda. So immediately Kaliya, along with his family, they departed for the Jamuna. and left the Ramakantra Islands. And why did Kaliya go to the Jamuna? Because Kaliya knew of the pastime where once Garuda, when he was flying across the Jamuna, he became very fatigued and very hungry. And Sobari Muni, who was there, warned him not to eat any of the fish from the Jamuna. But he was so overcome with hunger and fatigue that he started to catch the fish within the Jamuna. So Sobari Muni, he cursed Garuda. He said that if you ever come to the Jamuna, you will die. So Kaliya knew of this. And hence, he realized that he'll be very safe if he swims and takes shelter in the lakes, in the waters of the Jamuna. So that's just a little background of the history of Kaliya, how he came to the Jamuna. And this pastime specifically was that Krishna and the cowherd boys had gone to the banks of the Jamuna, and they'd gone there on a daily basis. So once when they arrived, the cowherd boys and the cows, they fainted because of the poisonous fumes that were there. And Krishna, recognizing that something is going on here, he jumped on to the Kadamba tree and he jumped into the Jamuna. And he went right to the bottom. And then, of course, Kaliya noticed him. And he grabbed him and put him into his coil. And he was kept there. So the residents of Vrindavan on that day noticed that Balaram hadn't gone with Krishna on that day. And they were frightened. If Balaram hasn't gone, something inauspicious will happen. Who will protect him? So these were the thoughts they had. So they followed the footprints where Krishna has gone. And finally, when they arrived on the banks of the Jamuna, they saw Krishna was caught up in the coil of Kaliya. And immediately, they were in such fear that the residents of Vrindavan wanted to run into the Jamuna and defeat Kaliya and free Krishna. But Balaram, he stopped everyone. He said, don't go, there's no need to go. Krishna is fine. He will look after himself. So of course, at that time, Krishna, seeing the anxiety of the residents of Vrindavan, he expanded himself tremendously. And of course, the coil got bigger and bigger and looser. And Krishna then freed himself. And today's verse is, when then he decides that he would start dancing on the 1,000 hoods of Kaliya. And whilst dancing on each one of the hoods of Kaliya, Kaliya, who was vomiting poison first, exhausted all his poison, and then now he's vomiting blood. And now he's exhausted. And then he surrenders to the personality of Godhead, realizing, oh, you are the personality of Godhead. Although my wives had told me all this time, I didn't listen to them. So there's a good moral here. Always listen to the advice of your wife. Otherwise you'll end up like Kaliya as well. And as stated in the purport, the wives were great devotees of Krishna. But Kaliya had subdued them and said, don't enter into devotional circle, no. And then of course here, the Naga Patnis, the wives of Kaliya, offered wonderful prayers to Krishna that he is so fortunate that who else will have the dust from your feet upon their heads. So he's so fortunate, although he's a demon, he's so fortunate. And by this you have delivered him. So that's in summary some of our pastime here. So generally, as Ramanujacharya said, that the Lord or his incarnations, they appear to save us. And that was really the principle in the Vedic system, or in all civilizations. that people relied upon God to save them. That's what everyone believed in God, and whenever they had difficulties, they relied upon God to come and save them. And it wasn't until the Renaissance that tremendous atheism perhaps sneaked in. And then instead of depending upon God to save you, then people started to depend upon man to save you, because there was no God. And then as time moved on in the 60s and 70s and 80s, not only did we depend upon man to save us, but everyone depended upon Superman to save them. The superheroes to save them. Isn't it the 60s and 70s? It wasn't enough that man could save you anymore. Superman and Spider-Man and everyone else had to save you. And in the 90s and 2000, it wasn't enough that man or Superman would save you, let alone God. Machines started to save you. Transformers came along. And Transformers were saving everyone now. So how history has changed, who's actually saving us at the end of the day. But really in this pastime of Kaliya, we can see that the real transformer are not the machines, the real transformer is Krishna. He's the one that can transform our hearts from lust into love, from envy into serving the Lord. He's the real transformer in that sense. Looking at this pastime, I thought we'd look at some principles that are given. Bhaktivinoda Thakur looks at each one of these demons, and he specifically looks at what they represent. Just like when Jaya and Vijay were cursed to come, they came as Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Sishupal Dantavakra, Ravana and Kumbhakarna. These are the incarnation. Of course, they come as Jagai and Madai later on as well. But specifically, Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks about the fact that Kaliya represents envy. He represents envy. That demon represents our envy of others. And of the six personalities who come, Jaya and Vijay, it's Sishupal who represents envy as well. If you remember the pastime of Sishupal, how when he was born, he was so envious from the point of his birth. But still, Krishna gave a benediction to his mother that he can offend me 100 times. But 101, no tolerance. So that's when his head went in the assembly, in the Kaurava assembly at that time. So in this pastime takes place in the southern side of the Jamuna. And Kaliya, that's where Kaliya resided. Now the Jamuna at that time is described that a river as such. The width of the Jamuna was 8 miles long. It's quite long. It's from here to Harrow, end of Harrow, or Wembley. It's like, that's how big the Jamuna was. 8 miles. Quite wide. And it was as deep as the ocean. Very, very deep. But the poisonous fumes in that whole area, imagine how big it must be, how deep that poison was, how strong, created a fog at the top of the Jamuna. And all the birds that flew over immediately died. All the other varieties that lived within the ocean, they died. All the trees around the Jamuna, they also died. Only individuals who survived were the snakes that lived in the Jamuna at that time. It's described as well by the Acharyas that Kaliya wasn't a water snake, but how is it that he lived in the water? And it's described that he had a mystical potency called Jalastamba. that he could make bricks from water. And at the bottom of the ocean, at the bottom of the Jamuna, he built a huge palace with bricks from the water, transparent bricks. Imagine that, a palace that he built just at the bottom by his mystic potencies. So the Acharyas explain that in this pastime, Kaliya represents the envy that we all have. And just like our consciousness, just like the Acharyas explained, that our consciousness is like the river Jamuna. And just as the Jamuna is contaminated by Kaliya's poison, our consciousness is contaminated by the poison of envy. Very deep principles. And just as Krishna jumps into the Jamuna to control Kaliya, similarly, Krishna, in the form of his holy name, he can jump into our consciousness to purify us. And they go on to explain that if Kaliya is polluting the waters of the Jamuna, envy is polluting the waters of our consciousness. If the contaminated water of Jamuna is affecting the cows and the cowherd boys, the waters of our consciousness, which is contaminated by envy, is affecting the community of devotees. And just as if Krishna can jump into the Jamuna, he can jump into our consciousness to deal with our envy. The difference being that Krishna, he jumped into the Jamuna out of his free will. But we have to use our free will to invite Krishna to come and jump into our consciousness. That's the difference, they say, between that pastime of envy and our pastime of envy. How it differs. The pastime is described how Krishna jumped onto the Kadamba tree, and from when he got onto the Kadamba tree, tied his dhoti very tight and tucked his flute in, and then he jumped into the Jamuna. So there are two versions of this story which are given by the Acharyas, because the first version is the straightforward one, which is that the tree was dead. But soon as Krishna touched the Kadamba tree, immediately it started to flourish. The leaves, the roots, the branches, everything came alive simply by the touch of Krishna's hand. The whole tree was alive once again. But another version is also given of this pastime, that Kasyapa Muni, he had several wives. Two of his wives were Vinita and Kadru. And from Vinita, all the birds are born. And the leader of the birds is Garuda. And Kadru, all the snakes were born. And the eldest of the snakes is Kaliya. So Kaliya and Garuda were brothers. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokala Nandaki. The two wives of Kasyapa Muni, these two wives, had an argument. And in that argument, the mother of Garuda lost the fight, the battle. So the agreement was that she would be subservient to the mother of Kaliya, and she became her servant. So Garuda said, "How can I help my mother? What can I do?" So he flew all the way to heaven, heavenly planets, and he fetched the pot of nectar. And he said that if I can give this pot of nectar to my mother, she will no longer be subservient. But whilst he was flying back, he stopped in Vrindavan and he then sat on this Kadamba tree. And knowing that Krishna will perform his pastime, he took a drop of water and he placed it on the Kadamba tree that it would never die. So that is given as another pastime. Why that Kadamba tree? Next time you're there in Vrindavan and looking at the Kadamba tree, you can have a bit more pause and thought how it appeared and what the pastime was of this amazing tree. Another aspect which is spoken of often is when Kaliya jumped, when Krishna jumped into the Jamuna and Kaliya saw him, he thought, why is this boy disturbing my area? Why is he disturbing my area? So it said that whenever a young person comes into our area, we may panic. Envy is such, this is again relating to the envy principle Bhaktivinoda Thakur was speaking on. Because Kaliya represents envy, and insecurity is born out of envy. We may also think, who is this young person? Is he trying to take over? Maybe he wants to be the temple president. Of course, the keys are always there if any young person wants to be the temple president. We happily would give it away to anyone. But you know, we may become envious of anyone, whether it's in a devotional circle, that, you know, this person is a better Sankirtan leader, is a better preacher. We just think they're going to take over our little territory, whatever it is. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks about this, that envy is like that. But really, in our society, in the society of Vaishnavas, it's not a question of younger or older, but it's a question of who's more advanced. Both are there. It's a balancing principle. Those that are elders, we always respect them. At the same time, someone may be young, and if they're advanced, we respect them as well. A senior in Krishna consciousness does not mean one who has seen years, but it means one who has seen through the years. That's what it means in Krishna consciousness. But that doesn't mean we throw away the fact that someone is senior, they are disciples of Prabhupada. We give our respects. But at the same time, the other principle is there. And it's a question of balancing the two. So this pastime of Kaliya brings it out. Kaliya is much older and he says, what is this young boy? And his envy comes out. And in the Ramayana, the same principle is given. That Dasarath, when he was deciding that actually now Ram should become the king, he should be coronated. He was thinking about this for a very long time. He said, yes, he should definitely be the king. And then he said, today I'm going to announce it to all my ministers in my court. And he thought, because I'd been such a fantastic king all these years, and when I tell my assembly that I'm not going to be the king anymore, my son will become the king, they'll all protest and say, no, you can't do it, you cannot resign. Ram is too young, it's not possible. He was thinking like this. So he went, of course, to his court, and thousands of his ministers were there, and he said, I am going to resign. I'm giving up the throne and Ram is going to be the new king. And he was waiting for the response and everyone went, Hari Bol! And he was devastated. He said, wait a minute. They're meant to be telling me I'm great, I'm wonderful. And again, Ramanujacharya in his commentaries, or Vedanta Deshika in his commentaries of the Ramayana, points this out, that again it's that envy that resides within us. But Dasarath's intelligence was so great that he immediately He used his intelligence at that time and said, no, wait a minute, this is correct. What they're saying is correct. So he brought his intelligence into control and he realized, no, I cannot say this. I must reconcile this. This pastime brings into us two main purposes. And it's all about, Nicharya speak about the fact that it's all about we are intolerant to the powers of others and we have the lack of appreciation of others. Kaliya represents these two things. We're intolerant to others who are more superior than us and we're less appreciative of others as well. So when Krishna came and he jumped into the Jamuna, when Kaliya saw him, Kaliya was envious of him, as we've already described. But this envy didn't remain passive. Immediately he went and he bit Krishna on the chest. And that's when the cowherd boys and everyone fainted, thinking now this is the end. So like anything, this pastime is related once more, that when Kaliya snake is within our consciousness, when someone becomes more powerful, we cannot tolerate them. Someone may have so many wonderful qualities, but we will not appreciate them. And similarly, envy cannot remain passive. It becomes active. And when it's active, it's called jealousy. Difference. There's a difference between envy and jealousy. One is passive and one is active. And when envy becomes active, it's called jealousy. And the signs are criticism, political conspiracy, blaspheming and pulling others down. So, you know, often we may be envious of others. But when we get to jealousy, these are the symptoms. Criticism, political conspiracy, blaspheming others and pulling others down. So, envy, as I said, is passive. And when it's active, it's called jealousy. The story is given there of this principle of envy of a man who was given a benediction that you have three wishes. But the only principle is that whatever we give you, we give 10 times more to your neighbor. So you might recall that story. So he said, okay, my first wish, I want a fantastic house. So he got a place like the manor, huge, you know, one person living in the manor, imagine. But when he looked to the other side, his neighbor had Buckingham Palace. So he thought, wait a minute, this is not good. And then he said, I want the best car there is to get. So he said, I want a Mercedes-Benz. Indian gentleman, he went for the Mercedes-Benz, he said. So he got a Mercedes-Benz, and when he looked on the other side, his neighbor had a Rolls-Royce. So then that envy became jealousy. He said, I've got to do something about this. So he said, my third and final benediction, please take away one of my eyes. So his neighbor, who was meant to get double whatever he gets, lost both his eyes. Because the story carries on, then he said, actually, take off one of my arms, and the neighbor loses both his arms. You can see how he goes, one of my legs, so he loses both his legs. You can see where envy goes into jealousy. No end. No end. And hence, we have to nip it. You have to cut it. Confirmed. By the conch. Similarly, there's another funny story in regard to all of this as well, where a husband and wife, the wife got a benediction, a lot of husband and wife stories here. The wife got a benediction, and her benediction again was that whatever you get, your husband gets 10 times. So she said, I want to be the most beautiful woman in the world. As any woman would. Of course, the problem was the husband now became 10 times more beautiful. And then she said, I want to be the richest lady in the world. And the husband became 10 times richer. And then she said, I got to sort this out. Give me a mild heart attack. Now, she died because the husband got a heart attack which was 10 times milder. And he survived. One for the men there, I thought we'd put one in. In this story, of course, at the end Balaram comes along and he's referred to as Madhava. And it's the only time in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Balaram is referred to as Madhava. And in the purport, Prabhupada speaks about the fact that it refers to one who is the master of intelligence. And Balaram was thinking when he came, because the residents of Vrindavan were petrified, what's going on here? So when Balaram saw Krishna gripped in the coils of Kaliya, and it said that he remained in that coil for one muhurta, 48 minutes. Krishna was in the coil of Kaliya for one muhurta. So for 48 minutes he remained in that coil. But when he saw the anxieties of everyone at that time, he said, okay, now I'll come. So, but when Balaram saw it, he wasn't afraid at all. He's that Krishna has been playing with his toys. He said that he had a doll who was Putana, and he broke the doll, like children would, broke the doll. And then a helicopter came along, Trinivarta, or a dragonfly, and he broke the helicopter. And then finally he says here, now there's a coiled snake. And Krishna now is playing with the coiled snake and he will break him as well. So Balaram wasn't extremely worried about this at all. But he very much saw that this is a pastime so that his devotees become more and more dependent upon him. So coming up to 8:30. So as a devotee, we must know the power of Krishna. And these pastimes are meant to relate that to us. We must know the power of Krishna. We must know the power of the holy name. And we must know the power of the Sankirtan movement. But the power to chant, to know Krishna, will not come automatically. And the acharyas give the final comment in this pastime that this will come through Balaram. And Balaram is the representative of the spiritual master. So one who takes shelter of Prabhupada, the spiritual master, he becomes empowered. And that's the final lesson that's given. And finally, when Kaliya submits to Krishna, and Krishna tells him, you must immediately leave. He makes his way to the Ramanaka Islands, which are described that these are the islands of Fiji. That's where they originally came from, the snakes. So he goes back then, of course, when Prabhupada went to Fiji, and he called everyone there, you are the residents or the descendants of the Nagas, or the snakes. Whether they were happy or not, I don't know. But he called them all. You're all the residents of... But then he said also, and just to save you, just as Krishna had chastised the serpent Kaliya, he installed, and the temple, our temple in Fiji is the Krishna Kaliya temple. It's the only place where Krishna Kaliya is installed as such. Guru Premanandi.